The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Time for the final deal or no deal of the 2020-2021 January transfer window.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training on a driving home, I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's our winter window special as the winter window closes, and we get all nice and cosy because spring has sprung. Phil Egan, good morning to you. How are you?
How are you doing, Chair? How are you getting on?
This is very exciting, the last day. What time does it actually close?
11 o'clock for England and 12 o'clock for Scotland. And it possibly could be the quietest ever deadline day, I think. Like, I'm wondering, are Sky even bothering with Jim White today?
Oh, they have to, surely, for old times. Like, it's 11 p.m., I presume. It's not like in 2 hours' time. Okay, Grant, so not a midday thing. At least there is some activity around Liverpool, who have decided that the end of the transfer window is a good time to do business as opposed to the start of the transfer window. Why didn't they just sign Ben Davis a month ago?
I don't know. I mean, was their mind made up maybe last weekend at Old Trafford when Reece Williams was exposed? And, you know, he's played a few games this season where he's done all right. And I think just that mistake that he made for the Rashford goal in the FA Cup game against Manchester United, maybe Klopp just decided, I just can't keep putting this lad in. Obviously, for the game previously, the week before, he'd gone with Henderson and Fabinho. But obviously, Matt Phillips played yesterday and played rather well. He's played both games against West Ham in the Premier League and different kind of games. But say, for example, that Liverpool played Brighton on Wednesday. You know, Brighton have lots of nippy little players where they're going to be in a range of just quick 1-2s. And maybe that's the kind of game that wouldn't suit a player like Matt Phillips. I don't think I remember him losing a header yesterday. Everything he went up for, he won. And one stage as well, he threw himself into a tackle with Antonio. So, you know, he's a game player. But I think it's all well and good maybe doing it in a one or two games. But as you play more and more, then teams start to figure you out and start playing the balls then beside you. And that's probably where someone like Matt Phillips would struggle. But in fairness to him, he did himself no harm. In terms of getting somebody in like Ben Davis, it's a guy that obviously they're hoping that he could improve.
He's the new Andy Roberts.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he can play left back as well, but I suppose it seems strange when you've got a team like the Premier League champions trying to get themselves back into the title race. Obviously, the next 6 days are going to be crucial, but they're spending $2 million on a player. Obviously, there was some expectancy that they might try and sign a more high-profile defender as well. It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Well, there was some talk about the guy from Marseille, right?
Yeah, Çalhanoğlu, the Croatian. From reports in France, suggested that he was actually on his way in terms of getting the flight over, but Marseille blocked it. They said that, you know, we don't have a player to replace you with, so this deal can't happen. He was meant to go to West Ham at the start of the season, but decided against it. And interesting, you know, he's a right-footed player and has that ability that Van Dijk has, where he can ping a 60-yard pass from the centre of defence just to turn defence into attack straight away. And obviously we saw how clinical Liverpool can be on the counter-attack when we've got somebody that can ping a pass. I know it was Trent Alexander-Arnold yesterday that played the ball. Shaqiri obviously then played to Salah. But maybe it's something that might happen in the summer. Maybe Marseille might actually think the money is too good and they'll be scrambling around to try and get a replacement in. But I'd be surprised if it did happen today.
Okay. Is Ben Davis going to save Liverpool's season, or is it too late? Has the season already been saved, Phil?
Well, as I said, the next 6 days, obviously City are away to Burnley on Wednesday at 6, and then you'd imagine they win that, they go 7 points clear. Liverpool have to beat Brighton then at Anfield at a quarter past 8 kickoff. Then, you know, you're 4 points in at going into that game at Anfield next Sunday. Obviously City still have a game in hand, but if Liverpool were to win their next two games and just be a point behind City, City still having a game in hand, but City's fixture is getting a bit trickier, because I know once this game against Burnley is done, we had talked about their next six games a good while back, saying the fair chance City will have a good sizable lead going to Anfield. And to be honest, 3 weeks ago, if you'd said to me that if Liverpool could be 4 points behind City going into that game at Anfield, I absolutely would have taken that, because Liverpool were obviously out of form. They weren't scoring goals. But now Mo Salah has got his mojo back, as all the headlines said this morning.
Bitten her hand off, Phil.
Surely. Absolutely. Snapped your hand off, bitten it off. Whatever, yeah.
Surely there's a lot of pressure on a guy to save a season if he isn't even the best player named Ben Davis in the Premier League.
Well, I mean, Ben Davis, Spurs edition, isn't having the best season either, is he?
So he hasn't been a Premier League season, a Premier League player for quite some time.
Absolutely. But I don't think they're just going to turn around and just throw him in there. Say there might be a game where, they're out of the cup competition, so they can't even give him a cup game. Obviously the only other competition they're in is the Champions League, so again, you know, if they're going to throw him in, you would imagine that they're going to have an experienced player beside them, whether it's Jordan Henderson, whether it's Fabinho, and you know, this is a guy that I don't know if he's going to play that much, to be honest. I think they just need numbers there, and as I said, I think this is just bumping him up ahead of Reece Williams.
He'll make 10 to 12 appearances before the end of the season, guaranteed, just because the way the fixtures are coming thick and fast. Assuming he can, you know, get fit and understand how the football is supposed to be played, they've got a reasonable track record of buying these type of players. I can see them certainly using him in a load of games off the bench if they need to close games out. But let's move on. I do want to... It's not slated to be talked about, but... In retrospect, was Barcelona not selling Leo Messi last summer and removing the final year of his $555 million contract one of the stupidest things that's ever happened in the history of world football, given that we now, Barcelona appear to be $1 billion in debt, despite the fact they've had the cash cow of Lionel Messi for his entire career? For the last 17 years, they've had this genius on their books and they've managed to rack up $1 billion in debt.
Hold on. You're suggesting that not selling the greatest player of all time was one of the stupidest decisions of all time.
They would have got money for him. They would have taken that 100 million off. They would have essentially ended up 200 million in profit if they'd sold him to Manchester City for 100 million last summer, or 80 million or 60 million, whatever it was, when he handed the transfer in. Now, instead, they've just run down their debt, kept a player who doesn't want to be there, and completely plunged the club even further into chaos. You're talking about a swing, a 200 million swing from a 600 million debt to a billion debt, or a 1.2 billion debt if you read some places, to 800 million. I mean, my maths aren't great, but I would prefer to be 800 million in debt than 1.2 billion.
Yeah, and sure. Throw in the Luis Suarez deal to Atletico as well. That doesn't seem like a great idea either, considering he's banging in goals for Atletico and they're absolutely walking away with the league at the moment. I know there's still a fair bit to go in the La Liga title race, but yeah, Barcelona have been abysmal in terms of what they do off the pitch. There's too much politics involved at the top end of the club, and obviously the whole Messi saga is a political struggle, and he obviously has had enough, and you know, it looks like he's going to leave. We don't know where he's going to go.
Is he worth 100 million in wages next season?
At the moment he's not playing in a very good team, but put him into a functional team and you start seeing the best of Messi again. And like, obviously, everyone's talking about him playing for Manchester City. Imagine putting him into the Manchester City team at the moment, where they're zipping the ball around. Messi would make that team a hell of a lot better.
Okay, it's a lot of money. Maybe it's nothing to City, you know.
It certainly is. We know City have a lot of money.
Does it? If you're Kevin De Bruyne and you're getting what you thought was good money, I don't know how much money Kevin De Bruyne is on. Is he on 20 million a year? Is that what he'd be on, a bit more than that?
But he's trying to. What, he'd be on 25 million? Get a new contract at the moment, yeah. And they've kind of hit a stumbling block because he probably thinks he's worth more than he is now. Maybe next weekend at Anfield without De Bruyne, if City were to lose that game, De Bruyne can go back in on the Monday and say, see, you know, you kind of need me. This is what happens when I'm not there.
Reports in the French media, to move on back to Liverpool, suggest that Klopp has met with Kylian Mbappe's entourage and he is seriously pressing them to convince the World Cup winner to come to Anfield. So, is he a like-for-like swap for Bobby Firmino and away you go, Sadio Mane, Kylian Mbappe, Mo Salah, thanks very much.
You've just left out Diogo Jota as well.
On the bench, buddy.
He was brilliant before he got injured. I don't really see this Mbappe deal to Liverpool happening. I know Neymar actually gave probably one of his biggest indications of his future after last night's game. PSG were actually beaten last night by Lorient, a team in the bottom three. But afterwards he said, yeah, I want to stay. I want Kylian to stay. I want PSG to be great team. So, I mean, he's pretty much put the ball in PSG's court and he's putting the pressure on Kylian Mbappe. And we mentioned Messi as well. That was another deal that was kind of talked about. Would he go to PSG to link up with Neymar again? But didn't seem possible that you'd have Neymar, Mbappe and Messi. So I've always felt that if Mbappe's going, he's going to go to Real Madrid. And I think Liverpool will be encouraged for the last few weeks, what they've seen out of their front three. Obviously, Jota still has to come back from injury. But there is definitely a serious drop-off. Origi played yesterday, wasn't very good. Obviously, Shaqiri played, set up the Salah counter-attack goal, showed glimpses. But Mbappe's on a different level to those lads as well. And there's always been that drop-off with the front three, and that's where Jota was brought in. And okay, he's injured at the moment, but Mane was missing yesterday. If Jota was fit, he would have slotted in there, no bother. But yeah, I'd be like the money you have to pay for Mbappe. We're talking about Liverpool paying $2 million for a central defender, and then in the few minutes later, we're talking about Mbappe. That would be massive money they'd have to pay for it.
But here's a solution to that problem. If you want to get this unbelievable front line together, a club that does have the money is Paris Saint-Germain. So let Liverpool swoop on in for Mo Salah, and then you've got a Neymar, Mbappe, Mo Salah attack force lining out in Paris, maybe Lionel Messi linked to Paris Saint-Germain as well. Wouldn't this answer all the hopes and dreams of Liverpool fans who want to see Mbappe and Salah play together?
Yeah, sure. I think Salah obviously, you know, last week came out and said that, or a couple of weeks ago basically said, look, it's up to Liverpool now what they want to do. But I think it's funny, like Liverpool obviously stopped scoring goals and everyone blamed it on a couple of things. Thiago obviously is a huge problem, according to some people. And then you have Salah doing that interview with Spanish radio where he had talked about, talking about playing in Spain for Real Madrid or Barcelona. I don't know how Barcelona are paying for him. But then he starts getting his mojo back and he starts saying, you know, it's up to Liverpool what they want to do. And I think Liverpool looking at that game yesterday is like, obviously they want to keep Salah. So, yeah, Salah and Mane, I don't think are going to go anywhere. If one of the front three was going to go, I would have thought it'd be Firmino. But, you know, maybe the last few weeks have convinced Firmino, like, why would you want to go? This is as good as it gets.
We've got about 3 minutes left here, Phil, so we've got to horse through these. Southampton are talking about perhaps a switcheroo deal involving Shane Long, who might be on the move to Bournemouth. Obviously, it would be Shane Long plus a boatload of cash for Josh King. And then so Long will go on loan with the option for Bournemouth to buy. He needs to get some first-team football. I mean, that's the next stage of his career is like still one of the fastest players in the Premier League. So he still has juice. He just needs to get on the field and show it.
Yeah, and it looked like Hasenhüttl really was a fan of Shane Long, but he picked up a few injuries, hasn't really been able to get back into the team, and he's just fallen down the pecking order. And yeah, he's at that age where you don't want to be sitting on the bench. You want to be playing, and you know, going to Bournemouth wouldn't be a bad move for him because obviously they're at the top end of the Championship. They play a certain way, but you know, he's going to get plenty of chances. And yeah, I think it'd be... it'd be a good move from obviously Southampton get Josh King as well, and Josh King would be a good fit for them because they do create plenty of chances, Southampton, and they're looking at Billy Gilmore as well, the Chelsea midfielder, and that'd be a good move for Billy Gilmore as well because he needs game time, but he'd be playing in a team that play football in the right way.
Will he get in the team?
I think he would, yeah. I think the way Hasenhüttl plays and what he demands from his players, he'd have no problem rotating because given the season, the nature of the season where, you know, the physical demands on players, less time to recover. And Gilmore obviously had an injury and he's coming back. So this would be a good chance to test himself in one of the, you know, the most physical demanding teams in the Premier League if Southampton were to sign him.
Shane Duffy's form, obviously awful at the moment. And yet, the history of Irish football is littered with players whose club form is indifferent or awful, who then get picked for the national side and play well. Think of Jason McAteer scoring for Ireland against Holland, not playing at that stage at all with any regularity, comes over, gets a bit of confidence, and then has a late flourish in his career as well. So is this something that we expect to happen for the Republic of Ireland, or can you just not pick him at the moment?
It's a tough one because it's not going well at all. I remember when this move was meant to happen, we talked about this being a good move for Shane Duffy, and then he scored a couple of goals early in his Celtic career, and you thought, yeah, this is going well. But I think Shane Duffy's time at Celtic mirrors where Celtic are at the moment, and just being absolutely shambolic. And unfortunately for Shane Duffy, you know, he's had a tough time off the pitch. Sometimes players need that release of football to turn things around, but it just seems to be going from bad to worse for Shane Duffy. And Joe, you know, it's going to be a tough call for Stephen Kenny to make. I'm sure him and his coaching staff have obviously talked about Shane Duffy, what did he do, because they'd be looking at team selections for that Serbia game. And here you have a player that has zero confidence in the team he's playing at the moment, but maybe playing for Ireland is exactly what he needs. It's a huge call for Stephen Kenny. Obviously John Egan starts, so who goes in with John Egan if Shane Duffy doesn't? Ciarán Clarke didn't start for Newcastle at the weekend, obviously came on in the win over Everton, but I really hope Shane Duffy can turn it around. There was talk of him getting a move away from Celtic, which probably needs to happen.
Yeah, the Forest one was obviously the one that people are...
Yeah, and Chris Hughton obviously would be...
Seems to make the most sense.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, good stuff. That's today's Deal or No Deal.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.